to obey. Because obedience is the key to blessing. If you want to be blessed, it's going to require your obedience. Obedience always brings God's blessing. Can you say amen? What does it mean to obey? It means to carry out the word and the will of another person. It's related to the idea of hearing. Now, this is from Nelson's Bible Dictionary. I'm just giving you a definition. Obedience is a positive, active response. Say positive, active response. To what you hear. You know, God summons his people to active obedience to his revelation. You know, God will show you something, but then it's up to you to carry what he shows you out. How many know that he wanted his people delivered from Egypt, right? And he happened to choose a man by the name of Moses. Moses was minding his own business on the backside of the desert, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, which he had been doing for a number of years. And all of a sudden, God got his attention through the burning bush. The bush was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And he goes over to the bush, and God begins to talk with him. And he said, Moses, and he said, remove your shoes, because where you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I've heard the cry of my people. And I want you to go deliver my people. Oh, no, Lord, I can't talk. How many know that when the Lord tells you to do something, he knows that you're quite capable of doing it? Amen? Now, Moses tried to argue with God a little bit, didn't he? He tried to put up an argument. Well, Lord, I can't speak. Okay, well, I'm going to give you your brother Aaron. Besides, I made man's mouth anyway, and if I want you to talk, I'll make you talk. So he tried to argue a little bit further. He said, I'm just not eloquent. You know, but his argument was futile, because Moses lost the argument because God started to get angry. Moses was trying to tell God what he couldn't do when God said, I want you to do this. But how many know that he obeyed the Lord, didn't he? Even though he put up a little fight, he ended up going back into Egypt, facing Pharaoh, and he delivered the people because he obeyed. Amen? And I don't know why I talked about Moses. That's not even in my notes, but that's for someone. So we want to look at some ways that we can obey the Lord. Go with me to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. You know, obedience is a choice. God will give you an instruction. He'll give you a command. He'll give you a statute. But it is up to us then to obey what it says, to carry it out, to do it. Okay? In Isaiah chapter 1, let's start with verse 18. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So how many know that when you get into the presence of the Lord, you're going to change? Amen? And he's going to equip you with everything you need. Now look at verse 19. He starts off this by saying, if. How many know that when there's an if there, it's not automatic, it's optional. Notice, if you be what? Be willing and, everybody say and, obedient. Notice, he's asking you to meet two conditions. You must be willing and obedient. Well, what if you're just willing? You're only half right. What if you're just obedient? You know, you can obey something with not being willing in your heart. How many kids do you know when they were given instruction, they said, okay, they're going to do what they're supposed to do, but how many know their heart's not in it? See, we try to fool God by putting on the right face, do the right action, but the heart isn't there. He said, if you are be willing and obedient, what's going to happen? You're going to eat the good of the land. If you're just obedient and not willing, you're not going to eat the good of the land. If you're willing and not obedient, you're not going to eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient. Why did he put those two in there? Because he wants us to meet the two conditions in order to get the promise of the eating good. How many want to eat good? Amen? All right. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. What brings a blessing? Obedience. We're going to look at some examples of people who obeyed and who didn't obey. Look at verse 8, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. I want you to notice something. Though he were a son, talking about Jesus, yet learned he obedience by the things which he enjoyed, right? Oh, man. You mean we might have to suffer some things? Oh, yeah. See, because by nature, the flesh is not obedient. The flesh has to be trained. The flesh has to be brought under subjection. If given its way, it will go wild. How many know? We've all been there. Before we were in Christ, we were dominated by the flesh. We did what the flesh wanted to do. But Jesus learned obedience through the things which he suffered, which means he had to deny himself of some things. How many know to come out of glory and out of eternity and into this physical realm, that's denying yourself some things? Just think about that. God became a man. God was in the beginning of creation. God formed, put the stars in place. God told, he gave the boundaries to the water. And now he put on flesh. He limited himself. Think about that. That's when Jesus was on this earth, he did not act like God. He was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit, although he was 100% God. But how many know when God put on flesh, God became tired. God got lonely. God experienced pain. God got hungry. God had to sleep when he was Jesus. Amen? Is that true? So he learned. Everybody say he learned. Guess what? If Jesus can learn to be obedient, so can we. Amen? But you're going to have to suffer some things. You're going to have, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself, you've got to pick up your cross, and you've got to follow me. How many know that denying yourself sometimes isn't so fun? But if you want to pay yourself now, you can go ahead, but it's going to cost you an eternity. Or you can deny yourself now and you'll get paid in eternity. Which would you rather have? Or you can have it now, but now is going to only last for a short time. Now, I'm not saying we don't have to live our life without stuff. God wants you to have some stuff. All right? God wants you to have nice stuff, good stuff. Do you realize that when Queen Sheba came to visit Solomon, she fainted at how his servants were dressed? Think about it. His servants were dressed so good and looked so good, and he had such excellent stuff that she fainted in his presence. Now, that's a type and a shadow of us being servants of God and how he wants us to have stuff. Say, God wants me to have stuff. He'll give you all the stuff you want as long as the stuff doesn't have you. Come on now. It's a different anointing tonight. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. I'm just laying the foundation here. Obedience is the key to blessing. All throughout the Bible, it talks about people who obeyed God and people who disobeyed God, and it gives us the results in some cases. Some received judgment, some lost some things, others were blessed. Amen? Deuteronomy 26, and let's look at verse 16. This day the Lord your God has commanded you to do. Everybody say to do. You know, it's better to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. If you hear only and don't do, you know what the Bible says? You deceive yourself. Now, deceiving yourself is worse than being deceived by the devil. We can deceive ourselves simply by not practicing what the Lord says. This day the Lord your God commanded you to do these statutes and judgments. You shall therefore keep and do them, how? With all your heart and with all your soul. God wants your all, amen? Say, God wants my all. He wants your mind. He wants your energy. He wants your gifts and your talents and your abilities, which he gave to you anyway. And when you do it for the kingdom, he wants you to have a heart for the kingdom. When Jesus was a young boy, his father and mother, they were on a journey, and Mary thought Joseph had Jesus, and Joseph thought Mary had Jesus, and they went 3 days. And they realized, they said, hey, where's Jesus? I thought you had him. No, I thought you had him. Well, we better go back. You know, and when you traveled a day's distance, you traveled some distance in those times. So they went back, and they found Jesus at the temple, and he was talking with the rulers and the leaders, and they were amazed by his questions. And Mary, they were a little frantic, because just like any parent would be, when you leave and you don't, your child's not with you and supposed to be with you, they said, where were you? He said, what did he say? Didn't you know that I'd be about my father's business? At about the age of 12, he had a heart for the kingdom. God wants you to have a heart for this, for his kingdom. Because you know what? There's going to come a time when this world that we see is going to pass away. And we're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say to you, what did you do with what I told you? Well, Lord, I didn't know what you said. Don't let that be your response. You better develop a listening ear right now. And you better tune in to what God says and what God wants. And you better allow the Holy Spirit to lead you every day in every area of your life. Because he wants our all. He wants us to have a heart for the kingdom. Because the time that we have been given is precious. And we've got to do what our Father wants us to do. Because if we haven't done what he told us to do, and if we stand before him, I don't want to be a wicked and slothful servant. So give God your all. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Notice what instruction the Lord gave to Joshua. How many know that God wants you to succeed in life? God wants you to be a success. What does a success mean? Doing what God wants you to do. Following God, obeying him, doing His will, that is a success. Success has nothing to do with what you drive, what you wear, what you live in, how much you make. Success is only doing what God has told you and instructed you to do. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do. There's that word again, do. According to all that is written therein. For then, everybody say then. You will make your way prosperous. How are you going to make your way prosperous? Let the word be in your mouth and meditate in it and observe to do it. Okay? That's how you're going to be a success. And that's how you're going to make your way prosperous. And then you shall have good success. So good success and prosperity is simply doing what the Lord says to do according to His word. Amen? If you do the word, you will be a success in life. That's all you got to do is be a doer of the word. Go with me to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. This is similar to Joshua. You know, when you have a heart for the kingdom, you're going to find great delight in the Word of God. Well, Pastor, I'm just not a good reader. Well, you better learn to be a good reader. Otherwise, you're not going to be a success in life. Do you know that the Lord can help you read? Smith Wigglesworth, he had like a fifth grade education. I don't remember, but he had a very low education, but he knew how to read. And he wouldn't allow any other form of book, magazine, or newspaper into his house but the Bible. And he had a powerful ministry. He said he wouldn't go a minute without reading the Word, and he'd read the Word like all day long. But he had powerful miracles that occurred in his life. He was a plumber by trade. He raised a lot of people from the dead. Do you think that him just reading the Bible had any effect in his life? Could be. I think it did. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. Now pay attention. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law does he meditate day and night. Oh. Day and night. What's going to happen when he does this? He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But he's got to find delight in the law of the Lord. He's got to meditate in it. See, meditation causes the word of God to pass from your mind into your heart. What does it mean to meditate? It means to ponder. It means to repeat, to think about. You could read a scripture and you could think about it. While you're at work, you could be thinking about a scripture. While you're eating ice cream, you could be thinking about a scripture, and that scripture is going to go from your mind and it's going to get into your heart. And when it gets into your heart, when it takes root in your life, that's when you're going to see power released. But meditation is important. But you got to meditate on the Word. Amen? Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Obedience is the key to blessing. You know how important obedience is? This sums up the importance of obedience right here. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, say one act of disobedience, many were made sinners. His one act of disobedience brought sin into this earth, and death came with sin. One act of disobedience affected many. Now, so the other side of the coin is, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Just ask the people who owned the boat that Jonah got on. Jonah was given an instruction by God. I want you to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach because I want to do something in Nineveh and I'm asking you to do it. I don't want to go. So what does Jonah do? He goes in the other direction. He gets on a ship and he goes to Tarsus. But while he's on the ship, what happens? A storm comes up. The people on the ship threw all the goods on the ship into the ocean. Then they threw all the tackle. You got to watch who you let on your ship. You don't want to let someone who's out of the will of God on your ship. He might rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. And here was Jonah. He said, okay, I'm the problem. Just throw me overboard and it'll be okay. They're like, no, but then they said, okay. They tossed him into the drink. What happened? The storm calmed, but the ship lost its goods because of one man's disobedience. Don't think that your disobedience is only for you. It will affect everybody around you. But then Jonah, reluctantly, he had to be persuaded. So God allowed him to think about it in a place where he was by himself. He took the first ungodly submarine ride ever. There was a great fish that was prepared just for Jonah. So he got swallowed up. And he's sitting. Now, we cannot imagine what it was like inside that great fish. I'm sure it didn't smell good. I'm sure it didn't feel good. But there was Jonah. He said, okay, Lord, I'll go to Nineveh. And the whale spits him up on the shore. He goes and he obeys God. And what happens? The whole town repented. Not only will your disobedience affect everybody around you, but so will your obedience. Obedience brought the blessing. Well, why didn't God choose someone else? He chooses whom he chooses. Many are called, the Bible says, but few are chosen because few remain obedient to the call. Many are called, but few are chosen. How come many aren't chosen? Many are called, but few remain faithful to the call. They don't see it through to the end. They quit halfway in between. Say, I'm not quitting. I'm going to finish my race. You know, Genesis 18:19. God said, I chose Abraham because I know that he's going to instruct his kids to obey and to keep the way of the Lord. Can you imagine? God knew that Abraham was going to teach his children to obey. What was his greatest act of obedience? Well, initially when he left, God said, I want you to leave your family, your house, your father's house, your home country, and I want you to go. Okay, he packed up and went. But then, in Genesis 22, he said, I want you to give me your son, your only son. I want you to sacrifice him. God wants me to sacrifice my son. But see, thank God that that wasn't the first instruction that God gave to Abraham. He gave him several little instructions to obey them before he led him to the big instruction of giving up his only son whom he believed for 25 years for. But God, I believed for that for such a long time, and now you want to take it away? But see, Abraham, he had grown in his relationship with God. See, if you're going to grow in obedience, you're going to have to grow in intimacy. I got so many scriptures, I can't get them all in tonight, so I'm just giving you the highlights. See, Abraham, he grew in closeness to God. He knew that God was faithful when he left to Haran. He knew that God was faithful when he was in Egypt. He knew that God was faithful when he was in Abimelech's land. And he knew that God was faithful in giving him a child when it was physically impossible. His faith grew. So when God said, I want you to give your son, he said, okay. The Bible says he arose early. And they journeyed. He told his servants, he said, you guys stay here. Me and the boy, we're going to go on and worship, and we both are going to come back. See, Abraham knew that if he offered Isaac on the altar, that God would resurrect him. And so he gave full obedience to that instruction. He put Isaac on the altar. He raised the knife, and he was going to do it. But see, God called out. He said, Abraham, don't harm the boy. I know that you're going to, I know that you're not going to hold anything back from me. What do you mean? God just wants to see? Yeah, he just wants to see sometimes if you're going to be obedient. God may tell you, Marianne, I want you to go to China. And all the Lord may do is he might just see if you're willing and obedient to go. And once you become willing and obedient, he says, I'm not going to send you to China. I just want to see if you're willing and obedient. Well, that's a tricky God. No, he wants to see what's really in your heart. He wants to see what's really in your heart. He wants you to put your faith on the line. Do you really mean what you believe? Obedience. So Abraham, what happened? Isaac was spared, and he had a vision into the future. He saw Jehovah Jireh providing salvation for all of mankind. He saw on that vision on Moriah, he saw into the future. See, your act of obedience will open up heaven. Not that heaven is closed. Because Jesus said when he walked the earth, he said, tell people the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But see, your obedience unlocks something in your life. It unlocks the blessing. It's gonna cost you some obedience in order to get the blessing sometimes. Someone say amen. Go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want you to see something here. Let's start with verse 22. John 10, 22. And it was at Jerusalem at the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came Jews round about him and said unto him, how long do you make us doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He always spoke in parables because only the true believers would have the mysteries of the parables unlocked to them. But those who didn't believe, they couldn't, they're like, this guy's talking crazy. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. How many times did the Pharisees get on Jesus' case for healing on the Sabbath? You healed on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do any work. Oh, really? If your donkey fell in a hole, are you going to pull it out or are you just going to leave it in the hole? No, we're going to pull it out. I mean, only a religious person would criticize someone for getting healed on a Sabbath. Who cares what day it is? Thank God that they're healed. Who cares how the results get as long as the results come about? Amen? Verse 26. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Are you of the sheepfold? Well, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So what? People who are of the sheepfold hear his voice, and they follow him. In other words, they do what he tells them to do, when he tells them to do it. Have you ever told someone to do something, and they say, well, I don't feel like it? Doesn't that just irritate you? Huh? Well, how do you think God feels when he tells us to do something and we don't do it? The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. Disobedience grieves God. It grieves his heart. Thank God Jesus was obedient to death. Hey, Jesus, I'm going to send you to the cross and give up your life. Okay. He told the people, he said, you don't take my life. I'm laying it down. He was willing to die. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to be persecuted and criticized. He was willing to go through physical pain without complaining. Without complaining. The Bible says he was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He didn't open up his mouth because he was obedient. Sometimes obedience isn't always gushy-mushy or fun. Sometimes it's tough. But that's because God doesn't want any wimps in his army. He wants us to be tough. He wants us to obey. He wants us to look at the devil in the face and say, devil, come out, or be gone, or go forth. He wants us to cast out devils. You can't be a wimp and cast out devils. Devil, would you please go? He's going to be like, yeah, right. Just ask the sons of Sceva. The devil said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? And he trounced on them. One guy, he whooped seven guys, stripped them and sent them home. Anyway, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. If you're of the sheepfold of the great shepherd, then you're going to hear his voice. What does his voice sound like? Sometimes it sounds like many waters. Sometimes it's a still small voice. So the closer you get to God, the more intimate it is. Sometimes it's a whisper, a still small voice. Sometimes it's just an impression on the inside. He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It could be in a dream, in a vision. It could be an audible voice. Julie. Yes, Lord. God's got a lot of ways that he can get a message to you. Point is, if you're his sheep, you're listening. A lot of times when people say the Lord spoke to me, it's not like he spoke in an audible voice, but down in your spirit, in the hidden man of the heart. You got to be able to know how God speaks to you, because how he speaks to me may not be the way he speaks to you, but he knows how to speak to each one of his kids. He knows how you think. He knows how you think more than you know how you think. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. You're here tonight because you're following the Lord. Amen? How many know your body doesn't always feel like being in church? Sometimes you want to hit the snooze button. And how many know you got to make your body do some things sometimes, right? Come here, flesh. You're going to go where I tell you to go. We've got to. We've got to. The only way to become more sensitive to the Spirit is to deny the flesh. God doesn't speak to us in our mind. He's not into, I mean, he's given us a mind, but that's not where he communicates to us. He communicates to us in the Spirit. God is a Spirit. He said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. When Matthew, the tax collector, when he was sitting down wherever they collected taxes, and Jesus walked by, he said, come follow me. What did Matthew do? He got up. He followed him. Same thing with Peter and Andrew and James and John. They stopped what they were doing and they followed him because they were his sheep, even though they didn't even know him. How about Samuel? The little boy, Samuel, who grew up in Eli, he grew up in the priest's house because Hannah, she wanted a child. And she said, I'm going to dedicate him to the Lord. And the Lord answered her prayer. And she got a child. And she dedicated him to the Lord. She kept her word. And he was in the priest's house, in the temple. And he heard this voice. Eli was so dim that he didn't even know it was God until 3 or 4 times later. Samuel, Samuel. He came into Eli's room. He thought Eli was calling him. He said, yes, I'm here. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Okay. Samuel said, aren't you glad that God's patient? See, in Samuel's day, there wasn't a widespread revelation. Because Eli, as a priest, pretty much let his sons do whatever they wanted to do without consequences. And they were a disgrace to the priesthood. They did ungodly things, and Eli did nothing about it, which was worse. Parents, what does the Bible say? Train your kids in the way of the Lord so that when they're older, they'll not depart from it. It's our job as parents to train our kids. That means that they might have to do some things that they don't necessarily like. But that's part of training. And do it with a smile. But Eli never did what the Bible said about his kids. And they ended up dying, and Eli fell off the chair and he broke his neck. But see, Samuel, he was just learning how to hear the voice of God. And God spoke to him in an audible voice. But as he grew closer to the Lord, the Lord didn't have to speak to him in that big, booming, audible voice. You know, the only time that God's going to, like, when he came to Mary and said, I want you to have a baby and not know a man, you'd be like, God's going to have to do some dramatic thing to get your attention. He had to set a bush on fire for Moses just to get his attention. Moses lost sight of what he was supposed to do on the backside of the desert. He was a deliverer, but he tried to deliver in his own strength, in his own way. He did it through murder. And that's not the way that God wanted it done. So God had to retrain him by leading sheep. So Moses spent 40 years leading sheep. Now he was 80 years old. And God had to set a bush on fire to get his attention. Then sometimes God has to get our attention so that he can speak to us. Hey, I'm over here. You know, like, how do they direct the airplanes off the runway? They use lights. Because that's what the airplanes can see. They use the lights. Sometimes God has to use a light to get your attention, to direct you on the path that you need to go. There is a path. The Bible says that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter to the noonday sun. Our path ought to be getting brighter and brighter, not dimmer and dimmer. The closer we get to God, the more clear we ought to hear His voice. And we ought to get to the point that Abraham got, that nothing in our life we hold back from God. Because obedience is the key to blessing. I'm going to close with this. Matthew chapter 25 tells us the story of the talents. Let's just go there. Yeah, Matthew chapter 25. We're living in an hour and a day where it is so important to obey what the Lord says. You want to be delivered from economic woe? Then listen to the Lord. He led Elijah through the wilderness from the brook Cherith, where ravens brought him food, to a widow, and he was provided for as long as he was listening to the Lord. As long as he obeyed where the Lord told him to go, he was taken care of. Matthew chapter 25. Let's start with verse 15. He talks about this guy traveling into a far country, and he gave, and unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received five talents went and traded the same, and made them another five talents. Likewise, he that had received two also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. He hid his talent. He didn't do what the Lord wanted done with it. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that received five talents came and brought another five, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained five besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. How many know you can't be faithful over a few things by not being obedient? If you're not obedient in little things, if you don't obey God with a dollar, you're not going to be, he's not going to give you 10. And if you want to be obedient with 100, then you're going to have to be obedient with the 10. That's just the way the kingdom of God works. You got to be faithful in the little things. It's the little foxes that come in and spoil the vine. Same thing with the two. He said, the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. God doesn't reap where he doesn't sow. Because he's the one who came up with seed time and harvest. And he said, I was afraid. Yeah, fear will cause you not to obey the Lord. Sometimes you gotta have some courage to follow God. And I hid my talent in the earth. Lo, here it is. Here's what's yours. His Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant. Basically, the guy that had one did nothing. He was not a doer. He said, you ought to have put my money at the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received mine with interest or usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10. For unto everyone that has shall be given. What do you need to have in order to increase? That's revelation knowledge. You need to have knowledge. You need to have intimacy with God. That comes from knowing him. My sheep know my voice. There's an intimacy there. There's a knowing there. There's a relationship there. Reason people don't hear God's voice sometimes is because they're not in relationship with him. The more time you spend in relationship with someone, the more you're going to know their voice. And if you haven't heard God's voice for a while, you need to get on your knees. Maybe fast and pray. You got to take some drastic measures to get your heart in line with God so that, because you might be missing out on a blessing. For everyone that has shall be given. And he shall have abundance, but from him that has not, they don't have any revelation, they don't have any relationship, it shall be taken away, even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant unto outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the place where people go where they don't know the Lord. Lord, we've done all this in your name. I never knew you. Don't risk it. Let your heart, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would bring us into all truth. And Lord, that you would reveal to us areas in our life where we have not been obedient. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we just repent. Father, for every moment, for every opportunity where we did not obey you like we should. Father, we ask you to forgive us. We know that you're faithful and that you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness and you'll forgive us, Father. We just lay it before you, Lord. We promise to be obedient from this point on. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. So if you want to be blessed, you're going to have to obey. And if you don't hear God's voice, start with the Word. Get in the Word and start practicing the Word, and then the more you practice the Word, the easier it'll become to hear His voice. Amen. Now, let me tell you some things that are going on. Of course, this Saturday, we're having our yard sale, pancake breakfast, car wash, concessions, and concert, and anything else that comes along with that. So we're going to be here from 7 to 3 on Saturday. And then next Wednesday, we're going to have a guest minister, Bruce and Reshma Allen. Their specialty is talking about the supernatural, and they're going to introduce the supernatural. So if you're hungry to see more supernatural things occur in your life, they're going to be with us next Wednesday. And we just hope that you'll be blessed. Amen. I'll be here as well next Wednesday, but that was the only time that they had available, so... we met them a year ago, and they operate out of Seattle, Washington. And Reshma, she's originally from Fiji. And I went on a missions trip in college to Fiji. And I did my first healing meeting in Fiji on that missions trip. And 7 people came up for prayer, and one lady, her respiratory system was a lot better. I remember that. So come and... it'll be a great time. Amen? Well, did this help you tonight? God bless you. Have a great night.